Let's read together 2 Chronicles chapters 4 and 5. In these chapters, we read about the construction of the furnishings of the temple and then about the dedication of the temple. Let's begin by reading about the temple furnishings in chapter 4. Moreover, he, that is Hiram, the master craftsman under the direction of King Solomon, made a bronze altar. 20 cubits was its length, 20 cubits its width, and 10 cubits its height. Then he made the sea of cast bronze, 10 cubits from one brim to the other. It was completely round. Its height was 5 cubits, and a line of 30 cubits measured its circumference. And under it was the likeness of oxen encircling it all around, 10 to a cubit, all the way around the sea. The oxen were cast in two rows when it was cast. It stood on 12 oxen, 3 looking toward the north, 3 looking toward the west, 3 looking toward the south, and 3 looking toward the east. The sea was set upon them, and all their back parts pointed inward. It contained 3,000 baths. He also made 10 lavers, and put 5 on the right side and 5 on the left, to wash in them such things as they offered for the burnt offering they would wash in them. But the sea was for the priests to wash in. And he made 10 lampstands of gold according to their design, and set them in the temple, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left. He also made 10 tables and placed them in the temple, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left. And he made 100 bowls of gold. Furthermore, he made the court of the priests and the great court and doors for the court. And he overlaid these doors with bronze. He set the sea on the right side toward the southeast. Then Hiram made the pots and the shovels and the bowls. So Hiram finished doing the work that he was to do for King Solomon for the house of God. In the plain of Jordan, the king had them cast in clay molds between Succoth and Zeredah. And Solomon had all these articles made in such great abundance that the weight of the bronze was not determined. Thus Solomon had all the furnishings made for the house of God, the altar of gold and the tables on which was the showbread, the lampstands and their lamps of pure gold, to burn in the prescribed manner in front of the inner sanctuary, with the flowers and the lamps and the wick trimmers of purest gold, the trimmers, the bowls, the ladles, and the censers of pure gold. As for the entry of the sanctuary, its inner doors to the most holy place, and the doors of the main hall of the temple were gold. Let's begin our study of these two chapters, 2 Chronicles chapters 4 and 5, with some background notes. In 2 Chronicles chapter 3, we had the record of the construction of the temple and the temple complex under the direction of King Solomon. It was a beautiful and glorious structure, and it stood for about 400 years until destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 BC. Now here in chapter 4, we have the record of the construction of the temple furnishings. The first thing we notice about the temple furnishings is that they were much bigger and more elaborate than the tabernacle furnishings. Just as the temple was larger and had more grandeur than the tabernacle, so the furnishings of the temple were larger and more magnificent and more elaborate than the furnishings of the tabernacle. For example, the bronze altar of verse 1 had more than 50 times the volume of the bronze altar constructed for the tabernacle. The exact size of the laver for the tabernacle is not given in the book of Exodus. But now look at the size of the temple laver, called the Sea of Cast Bronze, here in verse 2. It could hold 3,000 baths, verse 5. That's about 17,500 gallons. That's huge. You know how big one 50-gallon drum is, right? Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrine or teaching points for these two chapters, 2 Chronicles chapters 4 and 5. Doctrinal point number 1. The furnishings of the temple were a reminder to the Lord's people of the continuing grace of God. The furnishings of the temple were a reminder to the Lord's people of the continuing grace of God. Remember what King David said in 1 Chronicles chapter 28? After giving Solomon the plans for the temple, including the plans for the furnishings of the temple, David said to his son Solomon in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 19, "All this the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, all the details of these plans." 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 19. So the bigger and more elaborate features of the temple furnishings were not the creative imagination of David or Solomon, but the detailed directions from God himself. This would include not only the larger size of the altar and laver, as we've seen, but also the additional 10 smaller lavers, verse 6, and the 10 golden lampstands instead of one, verse 7, and the 10 tables instead of one for the bread of the priests, verse 8, as well as the 12 cast oxen on which the laver stood, and all the utensils for carrying out the work of the priests and Levites, and all the elaborate and detailed designs. All of this was not the brainchild of either David or Solomon, but was from the Lord himself. Now, why did the Lord want the temple furnishings to be bigger and better and more elaborate than what was in the tabernacle? Answer. Not only did all of this contribute to the beauty and grandeur and glory of the Lord's house, but it was a continual reminder of God's grace to his people. The way of worship had not changed. The Holy of Holies was still off limits to the people. The way of sacrifice by the altar was still the only approach to God. The priests still had to use the laver and cleanse themselves and present clean sacrifices. These sacrifices all pointed forward to the one great sacrifice of Christ, the Lamb of God, who was to come in the future. But God graciously wanted to dwell in the midst of his people in the Old Testament. And he provided the way of sacrifice as the way of worship, first at the tabernacle and now at the temple. The furnishings of the temple were a reminder to the Lord's people of the continuing grace of God. Doctrinal point number two. The dedication of the temple is a foreshadowing for the Lord's people of the coming glories of Christ. The dedication of the temple is a foreshadowing for the Lord's people of the coming glories of Christ. Let's read chapter 5. So all the work that Solomon had done for the house of the Lord was finished, and Solomon brought in the things which his father David had dedicated, the silver and the gold and all the furnishings, and he put them in the treasuries of the house of God. Now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel in Jerusalem, that they might bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord up from the city of David, which is Zion. Therefore all the men of Israel assembled with the king at the feast which was in the seventh month. So all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the Ark. Then they brought up the Ark, the tabernacle of meeting, and all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. The priests and the Levites brought them up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him before the ark were sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for multitude. Then the priests brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place, into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place, under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim overshadowed the ark and its poles. The poles extended so that the ends of the poles of the ark could be seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside, and they are there to this day. Nothing was in the ark except the two tablets which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they had come out of Egypt. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever," that the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. When the ark was installed in the Holy of Holies of the new temple, verse 10 says that nothing was in the ark except the two tablets which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they had come out of Egypt. What happened to Aaron's rod and the pot of manna? We don't know. We're not told. Verse 9 says that the poles extended so that the ends of the poles of the ark could be seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside. Exodus chapter 25 and verse 15 says that the poles were not to be removed from the ark. We know that the veil dividing the Holy of Holies from the holy place was one piece. So maybe the poles stuck out at the side of the veil where the high priest entered the Holy of Holies once a year, so that the poles could be seen by the priest from the holy place outside the Holy of Holies, but not from the outer courts. Remember also that two larger-than-life sculptured cherubim that were now in the Holy of Holies took up considerable space. Now, was this bad planning in the design of the Holy of Holies in the temple? No, it couldn't be, because God gave the plans. I believe it adds to the spiritual picture that we have here under our doctrinal point, which is the dedication of the temple is a foreshadowing for the Lord's people of the coming glories of Christ. The key is in recognizing that there were stages in bringing the ark up to Jerusalem and installing the ark in the temple. Now, we've seen in our studies that the ark itself is a picture of Christ as the Savior and leader of his people. After the wrong treatment of the ark by the Philistines and Israel, the ark was brought up to Jerusalem to await the building of the glorious temple. Now follow the picture here. In the same way, the Lord, who was shamefully treated by Jews and Gentiles alike, has ascended to heaven, and true believers joyfully worship him and await to celebrate his glorious reign, which is pictured in the installation of the ark at the dedication of the temple. All the gold and grandeur of the temple filled with the glory of God, as well as the great time of celebration and joyful worship, foreshadow and portray that coming kingdom of Christ on this earth. And we know from Revelation chapter 20 that this glorious thousand-year reign of Christ on this earth is not the end. There is more to come, including the eternal state. Perhaps the traveling poles of the ark protruding from the divinely designed Holy of Holies in the temple are meant to convey this spiritual truth. In any case, the dedication of the temple is a foreshadowing for the Lord's people of the coming glories of Christ. Practical application from 2 Chronicles chapters 4 and 5. Let's all pitch in and help on special occasions. Let's all pitch in and help on special occasions. Look again at verse 11 of chapter 5. And it came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions. Normally, the priests only worked when their division was on duty. But the dedication of the temple and the installation of the ark was a special occasion. So all the priests pitched in and worked. No one said, "Hey, I'm not on duty," or "That's not my job," or "I'm not available." Now, what about us? Sometimes there are special occasions in the church or in some area of Christian service or even in our homes where we all need to pitch in and get the job done. Normally, it may not be our job or responsibility, but there are special occasions when we need to make it our job and responsibility, and we should make ourselves available. Let's all pitch in and help on special occasions.